Thank you, Risa. That was really good. It's a good introduction to help me with the message about the 10 lepers. Jesus heals 10 lepers. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to take a look at this story. It's about God's grace and about God's restorative power, how he brings that into our lives. I have a video I want to share with you later on. Now, being a leper in their day, as Risa rightly noted, was a real bummer. It was really bad. If you were diagnosed with leprosy and the priest was the physician, you were in fact banished from your home. You had to leave. And if they found evidence of the mold or the mildew or leprosy in your house, they would destroy your house. It was a very, very serious thing. People get really worried about things they don't understand. There was no cure for it back then. We have a cure for it now, and the cure is actually difficult. There was a leper colony a little ways from our house in Hawaii, and you know, it's a difficult thing. Leprosy, it's really gross, actually. You know, it affects the nerves in your body and in your hands and your nose, and actually parts of your body just fall off. It's really not good. So this is a very terrifying thing for these people that had it. They were outcasts. They didn't have friends. They were just kind of in a hopeless situation. You know, and it's easy to complain when we're in a hopeless situation, right? You guys don't complain, do you? Nah. I never complain, you know. But if we get in a situation where we're overwhelmed, when it's difficult, it's very easy for us to be stressed. Carl, if you go to the next slide. That's the first point that I wanted to share. Jesus heals the 10 lepers. One of the things that Jesus did in this story that's really important to notice is he went out of his way to meet these guys. And a lot of the times, we don't realize it. We don't stop in our busy day to call out to him to ask for help. But he is there. He's present. That's one of the key aspects of this story, is that he redirected his path rather than going to Jerusalem, and he wanted to go because he knew where these people were. And when these people saw him coming, they cried out to him because they knew that he could help them. And that's an important thing for us to get into our hearts and minds in our daily lives, that God really wants to intercede. He wants to bring his power. He wants to bring his encouragement. He wants us to pray about all the little issues and everything we need all the time. And he wants us to be focused on that his love for us is that great. You see, these lepers had nothing to lose. They needed God's help. They just had such a desire for God to interact with them. A beautiful verse from the Psalms. It says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." In your outline, there's another verse that's very similar to that. Actually, the Apostle Peter restates that verse, and he states it like this. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Now, the mighty hand of God is not one of judgment. It's not one where God is putting his mighty hand on you to judge you, to correct you. See, he already beat up and crucified Jesus Christ so he can love you and care for you and guide you. His mighty hand actually is speaking to the issues and problems and things in your life. That's what he means when he's talking about the mighty hand. His mighty hand is upon you. Why? Because he wants us to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. And we're going to see why that is so important. We're going to see why it's so important to really begin to interact with God and just begin casting our cares and our anxieties on him. Because a lot of times we look at situations and we see the worst case scenario. Do you do that? Are you a cynic? Do you tend to see things more negatively than positively? Well, I have a video for you to consider. Let's watch this.
How was work?
Nothing unusual. Email was down again. And Bill called me into his office again.
What's wrong?
Nothing really. He just thinks he can come down and fit in with these blue collar guys. You know, he's white collar.
Or you've done something wrong again, and you're getting in trouble. And you'll get demoted, then you'll stop shaving. There goes my vacation. Maybe you'll even get fired. And then you'll do that lazy thing, and I'll have to go back to work. And there goes the house. We had plans for this house. We'll be living out of our car or out on the street, and eventually we'll be forced to move in with your mother.
How was your day, Kim?
Well, Dana's having a party Friday night, and I thought I could go. But before you freak out, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I mean, y'all guys know me.
You're a great kid, but there's no stopping the peer pressure. It just takes one sip and you're hooked. And then there's the smoking and the piercings and the tattoos and the boys. Even good boys don't have good intentions, never mind the bad boys. Oh, and you'll go straight for one of the bad boys and they'll introduce you to all the bad things and you'll get pregnant and drop out of school and we'll never see you again. And we'll be stuck with your kid.
What about you, Mom?
I've been considering taking up string art.
No.
Desi's been doing some really wonderful things with it. You can do anything with string. Did you know you can make refrigerator magnets?
Everyone knows string art is a gateway craft. You'll start knitting and making me hats and scarves and sweaters and making me wear those sweaters. And you'll stop dyeing your hair and get those grandma glasses and you'll want a cat, which will kill my allergies and probably lead to more cats. And you'll want to make things and bring it to my class and embarrass me in front of all of my friends.
Is this a cat hair?
There's an interesting aspect to this story. Very interesting aspect to this story. Do you notice something that happens that Jesus does not heal them right away? And that's odd. Usually he heals them right away. And in this case, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And they have to trust him. They have to just go in faith and rely that it's going to work out okay. They have to just believe that God's going to take care of it. They have to not worry about it. And if they hadn't acted on the word of Christ, the healing wouldn't have happened. And I come to the conclusion that God is not going to answer all your prayers the minute you pray. He is not going to give you immediate healing the minute that you ask for healing. He's not going to solve all your problems the minute that you ask. He's going to ask you rather to trust in him and to go. And to just have faith. He's going to work it out. You can take one day at a time. You can trust him. It is going to be okay. The greatest challenge that you're ever going to have in growing a rock-solid faith is waiting on God, period. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, and it's everything God's going to ask you to do. He wants you to wait. Besides, what would happen if I stop and think about it. What happened if God answered every prayer that you prayed the minute that you prayed it? I would be the most spoiled brat in the world. I would be obnoxious because I would just, it would be like having the Midas touch. I would just expect everything to happen. God would do it. I would never learn to wait on God. I would just be absolutely spoiled. I wouldn't need faith. And God wants to work faith in us. And our minds get going, and we worry about things, and we stress about things, and God says, trust me. God says, follow my word. I went to a pastor's conference this week. And you know, at the pastor's conference, they were talking about all sorts of things. They went off on the speakers, were talking about how bad it's gotten in America. The sexual revolution, the downfall of marriage. And I know I taught high school. Man, things like sex and sexuality, it is off the chart. The youth are tempted in ways that are just beyond anything we could possibly imagine in the past. It is a problem. And parents are really stressed about this. They wonder, how in the world am I going to, you know, educate my kids? How are they going to grow up and not be influenced by all this sort of stuff? And you know, it made me think when I was hearing all that negativity, it made me reflect on the fact that when the Apostle Paul went out and when he was preaching and when he was teaching, he was living and preaching and teaching in an incredibly immoral culture. If you're a student of history, study the lives of the Caesars. They make some of the stuff happening right now look like, you know, the Puritans. I mean, these guys were incredible. And the immorality that they were dealing with in the public realm, in the temples that they would walk by, is beyond anything you and I can possibly even begin to imagine. But they changed the world. Why? It occurs to me that their faith, the faith that they preached, was transformational. They looked at their lives and they realized that this hope that they had in Jesus Christ gave them a permanence and a hope and a promise and a future that they did not have in the world. And that's one of the things that people do with sexual conquests and escapades and all this sort of stuff that's going on, all the pornography and everything that we have in our society. People are looking for these things to fuel them up and to strengthen them, but it does not last. You see, and they saw that and they said, no, we want what's going to last. We want Christ. And actually, in that, Paul's preaching, when he preached in a town of Ephesus, which was especially impacted by the culture, there was a lot of witchcraft and stuff going on in that culture. And they were so impacted by the gospel that they took all of their magic incantation books, and they were into it, and they took them down for a public bonfire. And they set up a public bonfire. Can you imagine that? They went down to like the square, Lincoln Square in Urbana, and they put them all in a big pile there and they burned them. And it was millions of dollars worth of books that they burned. And you know, Paul returns to that later when he's talking. He writes to the Ephesians and he shares with them. And it just, he reflects on really what happened in their lives. And he says it in this in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, then you will be made complete in the fullness of life. It's that love of God. They just saw how much God loved them and cared for them. And they realized that they could not receive that or get that in the world, and they were just drawn to it. And it was just beautiful, wonderful grace that God had shared with them. And it made such a wonderful difference in their life. And the story with the leper, it just speaks to me about this. Because they followed Christ's words. I would encourage you, trust and obey. Follow Christ's words. It's true. It's right. It's good. Young people, just do it. It will bless your life. It will change your life. It'll take your life in a different direction as it did for this one individual. His life changed direction. He came back to Christ. He turned his life around literally and came back and just made a fool of himself in front of Jesus Christ and everybody else. But it's that word of God that is rock solid and sure. There's a verse here from Isaiah, which is a really wonderful, encouraging verse. It says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. That's how sure his promises are. When you follow him and you follow him, you cannot be snatched. You are safe. We want safety nowadays. We want encouragement. You have that. He says, no one can undo what I have done. You see, he calls us into that relationship. He says, you can't undo it. He says, if you trust and you obey and you follow me, he says, I will do a work. I will keep you safe. I will watch over you. And the end result of that is praise. The end result of that is praise. As that understanding grows in our hearts and minds. It just, you know, we just understand to an amazing degree how much God has blessed us. Because we're all scarred. We might not have leprosy on the outside, but all of us on the inside have scars. We all have issues. We all have things that burden us. And God wants to minister to those things. He wants us to make a testimony. He wants us to be a testimony of his grace working in us. And praise is what happens. Praise is what flows. God noticed that. He says, this guy's here praising me, and he changed the situation. That's one thing that praise does. Praising God changes the difficult, negative issues, problems that you're in. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever turned your heart and you praise God and you thank Him? And I realize some of you are going through some really difficult issues. And I would invite you to try this. Just as you're dealing with your struggles, your temptations, your trials, just thank God. Just praise Him. Just say, God, you're with me. You're able to help me. I'm not going to have an anxiety attack about this. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to praise you. And it changes the circumstances. Because the focus then comes from yourself and your issues to what God is wanting to do and able to do. And the promise and hope that we have in Him. And it does another thing, too. It not only changes the situation, it also causes thanksgiving and overflow. It's contagious. It moves out among us. Because when people thank God and when they praise God, a testimony is a beautiful thing. It's very encouraging. Because when you hear what God has done in somebody's life, it speaks to your life as well. And you say, wow, this is really cool. God can help and bless me, too. And that's what Paul is talking about. He says, kindness overflows in the lives of many people. It will produce even more thanksgiving to the glory of God. Here's what we need to kind of get our minds around, I think. Because it's difficult in our lives to see how God is working. You think about artwork. I don't know if you have any fancy artwork, but I know somebody that collects fancy artwork. And what's interesting to me is that when a lot of these artists that are really well known and famous, when they first started painting, a lot of them were unknown, and some of them even died in poverty. And it wasn't until later on that they actually became famous, and their artwork became precious and valuable, and the artists became the masters that they are. Well, God is a master, and He's working in your life. God is painting. As you trust Him, and as you follow what He says, and you follow His word, and you go that way, He is working in you. And you can't see all that right now. You can't see all that, you know, how that's going to fit together. It doesn't always make sense, and it's not obvious to us. But God says, trust me. Hope in me. I'm working here. And one day He's going to take and He's going to hang the canvas of your life up in heaven, and you're going to see how everything was connected. And He says that He's working everything together for good. And He wants us to have that faith. And just praise Him. You know, praising and thanking, it's actually greater than going to church. I hate to say, I'd love to see you in church. I'm not encouraging you not to go to church. Church is good where we come together and we fellowship. That's awesome. But what I want to encourage you to see is that in your everyday life, when you just thank God and you just praise Him and you just worship Him like that, it's something that's just beautiful to God, because it proclaims that your faith and your trust in Him. And I realize that we all come short in this. I do. And I need reminders in this. I need to be reminded how great and wonderful our Lord and Savior is, that He goes out of His way to minister to my needs, that He's closer than I could ever even imagine, that He's working even though I can't see it, and that I should cast all my care upon Him, and that I should follow His way. I get that. And I just thank Him most of all that His grace is just unexpirable. He just continues to work, is continually gracious, and He says He wants me to trust Him. Let's trust Him. Let's ask Him to work in our lives. Let's ask Him to strengthen us, to help us to do great things, to bring that healing and hope that we need. May God bless you and strengthen you in your faith, no matter what the burden or what the issue might be, whatever the challenge might be, give that to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to call out to You. Lord, we want to follow what You tell us to do. We want Your word to speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, if it's telling us to do the right thing, we want to do the right thing. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us when we stumble and fall. Help us to see that your love to us forgives us and draws us back into You. Lord, if we're worried and stressed about things, Lord, help us to cast those cares upon You. Help us to believe, Lord, that you're able to work things out. And you're able to help us. Our faith is of great value to you. Strengthen us in it, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.